Welcome back to the Roundtable, our Roundtable on the Roundtable. If you can imagine four individuals around a Roundtable, or if you will, a water cooler discussing the issues of the day. And that's exactly what we do every day on the Roundtable, and that's exactly what we're doing this morning. And we invite you to join us here at the water cooler and talk about these various issues, theater of the mind and all that. You can email us at roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or by tweeting us at WAMC Roundtable, and your comments will reach the water cooler. Joining me for the discussion this morning, WAMC's Alan Shartok.
Oh.
Morning Edition host David Gustina.
Hey, hey.
And University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter and our forever hero, Rosemary Armeo. How
forever
are you?
Forever hero. Oh, my God.
Too much
my
pressure.
My kids
on
never
Rosemary.
Talk about me that way.
Well, we do.
Yeah, we do. And even when you're not around, we talk about you that way. That's tells you how much we love you. All right. Let us talk about some of the big issues, obviously. We've been talking about this a lot this week. But once again, we talk about gay marriage. We talk about the issue before the Supreme Court. And by most media accounts and by looking at the transcripts and seeing what happened yesterday, the Supreme Court appeared ready to strike down a central part of a federal law that defines marriage as the union of a man and a woman, as a majority of the justices expressed reservations about the Defense of Marriage Act. And it was, as we mentioned, the second day of intense arguments over the issue of same-sex marriage. Justice Anthony Kennedy, who most likely holds the decisive vote, returned again and again to the theme that deciding who is married is a matter for the states. The federal government, he said, should respect the historic commitment of marriage and of questions of the rights of children to the states. What should we make of this, Alan?
Well, here's what I think happened, but it's just a theory. So you can treat it as just that, and that is
this is Alan's theory. We'll Alan's treat it theory. As Alan's theory.
Okay, that there were four conservatives.
Alan's theory 174.
We know about the four conservatives.
We're going to number them.
Good, good, good. And I'll have something to say to you later.
Yes. Okay, so he's got a number for you, too.
So there
it's
were four,
on a pink piece of paper.
Never.
Being signed.
So there were four conservative justices, and Kennedy's always the swing. Now, the four thought they had Kennedy, and they also wanted to support DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which basically says marriage is between a man and a woman. They thought they had the votes to do it. But then one of those things that happens when you go out in the ocean, the undertow got them. And the undertow turned around, and all of a sudden, America changed. It was like, whoosh, everybody under 30. Bill Clinton, who signed the Defense of Marriage Act, said, no, that was all wrong. Hillary Clinton says, no, that was all wrong. Barack Obama, the president of the United States, who was scared to death about this in the beginning, said, oh, no, I'm for marriage equality. And I think what happened is these guys were sitting there with their thumbs in the air.
Thumbs in the air. I'm just imagining that.
Thumbs in the air. They didn't know what to do.
It's all a theory, Rosemary. Yeah.
They didn't know what to do about this. And then it became a matter of they had granted cert or certiorari, as we said yesterday, and they had taken the case. Now they're saying things like, we don't know why we took this case.
Right.
Well, I know why they took the case. They wanted to come out on that conservative side, and they wanted to say that the federal government could do it, even though most of the time they're saying the federal government shouldn't do things that are more liberal. And I think that that's what happened.
Okay, I have to say that I was impressed with, now, this will be surprising, Jeb Bush. Not someone I'm usually impressed with. He's a smart guy, but I don't usually agree with him. He said, didn't understand why this whole issue was before the Supreme Court, that our federal system is actually wonderfully set up to deal with changing mores and ideas about democracy and rights like this. And so state by state, it was happening. We were moving towards universal marriage rights, marriage equality. Why did it have to be taken up in this way? I think that's a really valid point. It goes back to you, Alan, of why they took it in the first place. They shouldn't have.
And obviously, however, depending on how the court comes down on this, and I think we talked about this the other day, can it move things faster? Can it move things
and prevent a lot of injury to people who are currently hurt? Yes, of course.
I thought one of the great comments that came out of the testimony yesterday, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg saying that the law effectively created two kinds of marriage, the full marriage and then this sort of skim marriage, which is a great line.
Kagan's line was great, though. She said, reading a passage from the House record at the time saying that the law had been animated by a, quote, collective moral judgment to express moral disapproval of homosexuality, mm-hmm. what Alan is saying, mm-hmm. supporting DOMA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a lawyer friend who just hates the way he says the media picks apart every little thing they say, trying to figure out what the results are going to be, that we all should just wait until October.
I think
just this few minutes of conversation here shows how totally wrong. It's fascinating. This is civics at its deepest and most important.
Well, and then
I want to be right in there watching it.
And then you get to hear their voices, which to me
finally made this major concession.
Fascinating.
They should be on television while they're doing it. After all, it is a super legislature. Of that, there is no question.
Right.
We have to have transparency, but what?
You're in charge of a radio station. Let them just do it on radio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Radio.
Of course.
Just
good
radio.
For us.
Radio.
Is good for us. No, but that's right. David, you make a profound point, because now we can hear that Anthony Kennedy actually has a voice.
That's right.
He's a human being. And we're listening to him. And then you made an earlier point, which I wish you'd make again.
Which is basically that, isn't that registering with them as they're they know this. They know now their voices are going out there and they're being heard, which is, putting their face, their whole personality. They're not just a member of the court with an opinion that's written.
Absolutely.
You won't hear from Clarence Thomas, I'll tell you that much.
I love what you say, Rosemary, about this. This is civics at its best.
It doesn't get better
than this.
Absolutely.
As far as looking at it, what's happening, and to use a bad analogy, but really ultimately to see how the sausage is made and ultimately dissected to find out what the hell's in it.
That's exactly right. I think Scalia also has altered, because he's still kind of crazy and will say anything and is arrogant, but he's got those two women on the court have really been after him too. They have been holding him to account. What do you mean by that? They'll say before he would just say something and would just kind of go off. He was rather intimidating. But the two new women on the court have both said, well, wait, but what do you mean by that? Treating him, like a justice instead of a politician.
They also always usually say, and anytime you hear an interview with any of them, that they're not affected by public opinion.
Well, of course, everybody says that. But in the end, they damn well are.
Well, and with all these people lined up outside,
yeah.
They have to be, they know this.
I don't know. I said this last week, Joe. You remember that. It's almost like it doesn't matter what the court rules. The public opinion swing has been so extreme that it is coming. Even if they said, no, DOMA's great, we're going to keep it, I just think it's a matter of time before it goes away.
You know what I love? I love the maturity of the American people here. Look. People used to think, well, I wouldn't behave sexually like these folks are behaving, therefore it's no good. Now they're saying, no, I wouldn't, don't like it, but it's their right to do that, and it's fine. And that reflects a real post-tribalism mentality. I love it.
And in your interview with Deval Patrick, he pointed this out, that people are American people, citizens are underestimated by politicians.
Yeah.
When you think of, and again, this gets back to what we were talking about of dissecting and say, what will the court do? But that is the obvious question. So what will the court do? So we've had 2 days of testimony, Tuesday and Wednesday. So what do we make of all this? How do we dissect it?
I can tell you what the New York Times makes of it, that they're going to throw it out. They're going to throw DOMA out because of this. And they're going to say it belongs to the states. And the regulation of marriage is not a federal issue.
Yeah. And Prop 8?
That's a tougher one.
Yeah, that's a tougher one.
Wow.
Yeah,
it is. And interestingly, in terms of the punditry coming in, I think people thought the other way around.
Yeah.
I thought they'd, they'd support the federal judge who said this is no good, this Prop 8, thing that the California. And that, again, shows you the undertow. The people were all for it. By now, California is ashamed of itself.
Right.
Interesting.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back and talk about other issues. Of course, we invite you to join us as always. Email us at roundtable@wamc.org. You can Facebook us. You can tweet us. You can go to our webpage, all kinds of ways. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us a letter. We'll get it in a couple days, but we'll still get it. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to the Roundtable on the Roundtable. Alan Chartok is here. David Gastina is here. Rosemary Armeo is here. And we welcome you as well. We have another issue, which is another huge issue, of course, and that is immigration. Once again in the spotlight. So you got Chuck Schumer and Senator John McCain, two other senators heading to the Mexican border to basically look at one of the questions that has been at the center of the debate over immigration reform, and that is how secure is that border.
How long ago was it, Joe, that doofus was on the television? What was that guy's name? He ran the whole immigration, anti-immigration thing.
Let me Google doofus.
You know, this doofus was on there, and he got everybody all riled up on the immigration question, then all of a sudden he disappeared. And then, like the equality in marriage thing, I think there was a massive shift. One part of it was the presidential election, in which those people who were legal in the United States said, no, you're picking on our group, and therefore we're going to vote against you, Mitt Romney, during this thing. Same thing happened with women, I think. And that's why when you talked about Jeb Bush before, Joe, I thought that was and Rosemary, I'm so sorry. That was why it was so important, because here's Jeb Bush now positioning himself better than any of the others and figuring, okay, I'm a Bush. We've had two Bushes already. If the Republicans want to win again, I'm the guy who will get elected. And they know that. But also, I'm the guy who has to lead us to the left a little bit in order to take these disenfranchised groups and make them into voters. Mm-hmm.
The president is going to Mexico. The senators are visiting. We have 8 senators working on this, mm-hmm. as far as working out an agreement and figuring out what's going to happen. And I thought Schumer's comments were interesting yesterday. He said, I've never, we've been talking about this for years, but I've never been here before.
Hope that there's a subway out there.
I don't know what difference that makes, right?
You mean the sandwich shop?
Yeah, because remember, what did he call that?
A shumwich.
A shumwich. That's what he has for lunch every day.
Indeed.
Visiting the border for the first time, said the tour helped deepen an understanding of the region, but that there were many other things we have to do as well, like controlling the flow of people coming into the country and providing a path to citizenship for these 11 million immigrants who are in the shadows.
That is such a key phrase, path to citizenship. Remembering during the election that they did a series of interviews with two of the Mexican journalists who are very well respected down there, and they talked about how sophisticated this population of people were, and that they weren't just going to fall for platitudes, no. That what they want is a path to citizenship, and even if the Democratic Party didn't offer it, they weren't going to fall for it.
Well, and also, the conservatives have said, look, our issue is security, and we want to make sure that the border is safe. So that has become a top priority in this discussion of the safety of the border and making that a key part of this, so that if they have that issue resolved, they can kind of look at some of these other issues. Rosemary is now holding her
just
face.
Will it ever be safe?
It's all just all politics. The border is not safe because we have immigrants trying to come here to get better jobs. The border is not safe because we have drug dealing going on.
Right.
We haven't dealt with that ever. Yeah. We don't have the supply side in the U.S. taken care of. We've done a terrible job supporting the Mexican government over the past few years trying to stop drug wars. That's why it's dangerous.
Yeah, you've done a lot of work on this, haven't you, Rosemary?
Well, I've done some. I mean, there's tons to be done, but this is just talk. You know, do you really think an 8-foot fence along the U.S. Rio Grande border is going to make us safe, and then we can let the people who are here working doing our gardens?
No drugs can get over that fence.
Well, unless you have a cannon. There was
right.
a story this week that right in Laredo, they were shooting the marijuana out of a cannon over the fence. And you hear about the police chiefs who've been killed, the whole police departments down there that are wiped out from the gangs.
Also, there's another small issue, and that has to be the economy. True. You know, when the economy went bad in the United States, all of a sudden the immigration, the illegal, so-called illegal immigration, stopped.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, things are getting better again.
It's a bit more balanced, though, than it has been. You're right.
It's true.
I don't know. For the first 150 years of this country, we didn't have immigration laws. It was not a problem. We're making it much harder than it is now. It seems to be.
Although there was a lot of discrimination against many of the immigrants who are now maybe involved in some of that themselves.
But isn't this pure politics? In other words, if you're going to have a path to citizenship, which is, I think, where we're going, and that's the right thing to do, there has to be a bone thrown to the right wingers and say, okay, therefore, we're going to spend a lot of money on making that border secure, more money to do that. And that is just basically, so say, covering their behinds. So they say, when we do this other thing, we can say, yes, but we also made the border secure.
To the tune of how many millions or billions?
Billions.
Yeah.
Billions.
There was an interesting statistic, I guess, from the Ford Foundation, who did a report and said about 60% of respondents said that those who failed to be able to cross mm-hmm. the border said 60% said they would try again in the near future.
So
you know, you have this. So what do you do to say, all right, those people, what can we do, and how do we deal with that? And so as you said, Rosemary, a lot of this is a lot of talk, but we've been talking about it for a long time. So mm-hmm. at what point does something get done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought, like Alan, that the election this year would be the spur, that Republicans cannot continue to be unresponsive.
I think, as you say, Jeb Bush is now positioning himself, and apparently what had happened to him was that the reason he wasn't the heir apparent was that he was married to somebody of Colombian descent, and that was going to count against him. Now it's going to count for him.
Mm-hmm.
His son, who is running for a lower office in Texas, is himself, you know, half Hispanic now. He's a Bush, and he's half Hispanic. How's that for a demographic?
And you will remember Papa Bush talking about the brown babies. He said he had brown babies in his family.
Yeah.
Not George II, George the First.
Yes. Yeah.
George first.
You know, actually, the Bushes have been, all of them, they've been actually very good voices for reform of immigration. It's one of the good things they've done, in my view.
Nixon was for the environment.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to go get some NPR news. And they're not on strike, right? Just the British. Okay. We're going to get a NPR news report, and then we'll be back to our conversation, talk about some other issues as well. We welcome your comments. You can email us roundtable@wamc.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to our roundtable on The Roundtable, talking about many interesting issues today. Here's one I found fascinating. It is a question that has, you know, I think has come up from time to time as our nation deals with the issue of gambling. And of course, as more and more states hit rock bottom, financially speaking, what do you do? And it's a very lucrative time in the state of Nevada. It's become a very lucrative time in the state of New Jersey because of sports betting. So how long does it take before the other states, the other contiguous states, looking and scratching their head and say, hey, we should do that too? The New York Times has an article this morning saying that it's a lucrative time of year for Nevada, where more than $200 million will be wagered in sports books in the NCAA men's basketball tournament, a pot of money that has budget-crunched states across the country pushing for a piece of the action despite strong opposition from the NCAA as well as professional sports leagues. Voters in New Jersey passed a referendum 2-1 making sports betting legal. And last year, Chris Christie signed a law legalizing it at Atlantic City's 12 casinos and the state's 4 horse racing tracks. Illinois is considering allowing sports betting. California is looking into sports betting. And so you have this on one hand saying, okay, it's okay in these states. You can do it here. You can do it in Nevada. You can do it in Atlantic City. And that's okay.
Or you could go to the other major governmental organization that sponsors it, the Mafia. You know, I mean, after all, everybody knows that there's sports betting all the time. Every time you prohibit something, somebody else moves into the void.
So should the state move into the void?
Yes.
Okay, so now you have, good. So now you have the NCAA filing a lawsuit. The NFL, the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball are all claiming that sports betting would irreparably corrupt sports in the United States.
Well, horse manure. I mean, think about this for a second. Are you telling me that people aren't betting now every day on all of this stuff? Of course they are. And the states are getting nothing from it.
What about all these fantasy leagues?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah, and which, by the way, is on their website.
That's right. All of the, and they want you to join.
MLB has a fantasy page. And the NFL has a fantasy
I'm
page.
I'm so stupid, I don't know what a fantasy page is.
A fantasy page is where you would take, you come up with your dream team. You take a player from this team, take a player from that team. You put them all together, and that's Allen's team.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, and then you have Allen's team go against David's team, and you see how your team, looking at the statistics of how they play in certain games.
But it doesn't work. Of course, last night we had the Heat losing, right? They lost
the
game.
That's correct.
Right? So some guy came up with, okay, let's take the L.A. Lakers, which had the longer streak, and do a fantasy team about them and a fantasy team about the Heat and see who would win. And the Heat won. But, of course, that's nonsense. You don't know.
No, the Heat lost.
No, the Heat lost last night.
Yes.
But the Heat won in the fantasy
team. Oh, in the fantasy team. See, yeah. I got you.
Suddenly the Don Henley Heat is On song is in my mind. I'm get that out, but otherwise.
Okay,
yes,
I have a question.
Yes.
Is sports gambling something like...
hang on, take your bets.
Yeah,
take your bets.
There we go.
Give me 100 on...
I'm still going with Kansas.
Yeah, come on.
What's the line? Go ahead.
Okay, so is sports gambling something like shopping centers that they're very lucrative? We built them everywhere. Now they're built every place and they have... You know, they all can't compete, and they're closing, and we're knocking them down. Is that possible? This?
Well, I don't know.
It was kind of fun when you used to just go to Atlantic City or to Vegas, and now we can go any place.
Well, it'll definitely be diluted, but look at OTB throughout the state of New York. I mean, you have an OTB in many towns, and certainly
now they're not doing well, right? The OTBs have not done that well.
They're not doing great.
That's my point.
You only have one thing to bet on. So if you have other things to bet on, and this isn't a proposal in New York, would it draw more people in and saying, okay, well, we're going to bet on the
game.
You know, we're going to bet on a team instead of an animal with 4 legs that you know you're whipping to get across the. Well, I won't get off on that.
Well,
anyway.
Well, and if, as long as they don't create a sports betting association to monitor it all.
Right.
You know,
it's an interesting, it's a really interesting issue as far as, and you know, I think Alan makes a great point. Look, this is something that's been going on. We have people not getting into the Hall of Fame, Pete Rose.
I was going to just say that.
They were betting and not legally, because, you go to your bookie and you book. This has been going on for hundreds of years. So, all right. You know, can the states get in on it? And I think it's a really interesting question. I do think it's somewhat disingenuous of the league. I mean, I understand the concern of the leagues.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you know, come on, you've been putting a blind eye to this for how long?
You know, what my mom used to say, "They're holier than thou."
Yes.
Well, maybe they're just buying time to figure out how they can get a piece of it.
Well. You know, there's that, of course, but then there's also – but I think they also make – they also make a great point, which is what does it do to the integrity of the game? What does it do to – if you bring it to a much larger scale,
more money is at stake.
Right.
Well, it's not perfect, that's for sure. In other words, the whole idea of gambling is never perfect. It's immoral in many people's eyes, and it does rob from the poor. We know that, who tend to do that. I have argued both sides of this for years, and when it comes to gambling casinos, mm-hmm. you know, in New York, whether this is a good or bad thing. But the emergency here is the lack of funds.
Yeah, it is.
So meanwhile, the NCAA has huge pull. The NCAA now has, you look at what's happening with March Madness, what this is bringing into towns, what this is bringing into, I mean, I'm not talking about gambling. I'm just talking about what it's doing for, you know,
in the towns.
And not just March Madness, but all the sports that it covers. So the NCAA says, all right, New Jersey, we're not going to have any tournaments in your state. We're not going to have any events in your state. We're going to bar New Jersey from hosting events in the future if you put sports betting into effect.
Holier than thou.
But a strategy to get them to stop, for sure.
Now, for a moment, a bit of a digression, how about Allentown, Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. Allentown, Pennsylvania has a you want to talk about gaming? Listen to this. Allentown, Pennsylvania, there's a minor league baseball team. It is the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. And the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs at the Coca-Cola Park in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
I'm putting my money on them.
Have hired a company to put in a urinal gaming system in the men's room.
Excuse me?
It consists of a video display mounted above each urinal. When a fan approaches, the video console will sense the presence and switch into gaming mode. The gentleman then will aim left or right to control the play on the screen.
Okay, that's discriminatory.
I'm out of this.
I just want the paper towel distributor to work.
From the Associated Press, by the way. I'm not pulling this out of the National Enquirer. The team said Tuesday that Coca-Cola Park will be the first sports venue in the world to feature this gaming system. It'll be ready by opening day next week. Thank God there's no delays in the urinal gaming system. The Iron Pigs general manager, Kurt Landa, says he didn't want to get ready for this. You ready?
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't want to, quote, flush away a golden opportunity.
Yeah. I just want to say this is a whole new chapter in penis envy.
They're also offering three free beers to everyone who enters the park.
Absolutely. Now, okay.
And one of the oldest sayings of all times is we aim to please,
you aim to please. Yeah. Of course. All right, we've digressed completely.
Well, not really. I mean, this is where, you know,
we've devolved to pee-pee jokes. I'm a scholar.
Well.
Me too.
Have we devolved or has society devolved where we're thinking where there are, sporting venues is saying, hey, you know, this is a really great. But by the way, this is another one of those things. I was reading this in the Times Union last night, and I said to my wife, I turned to my wife and I said, I can't believe they haven't done this before. I mean, because you know, you always, you know, it's usually the little thing, the little mint, right?
Yeah.
You know, the sort of aim.
So I, of course, know nothing
of what you're talking about.
Well, that's a very good point, Rosemary.
I was going to mention that. Did you guys hear this yesterday, that there's a petition at the White House that they're asking people to sign? Public has put it up there to require congressmen and senators to wear, as part of their outfit, the people who donated to their campaign. In other words, I'm sponsored by, and all over their bodies will be how much they
just
accept.
Just like at the NASCAR.
You're right, yes. NASCAR. You put that's the sponsors cool. right on your. Yeah.
So that idea is floating out there right now, looking
well,
for signatures.
Go
floating being the key word today.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Floating.
I'm
yeah.
just reporting the news.
No, but I want to make the point that Joe made before, just in case anybody's thinking about writing us a note. comes right out of the Associated Press, a major press organization.
Well, you know, yeah, and this is, I mean, it was in the Times Union. It's all over the place. I mean, it is a story. And look, it's Coca-Cola Park, and we're talking about
it.
And an affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies, my home team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has some legitimacy. It's not like it's, and you're putting these in. And by the way, I have to say, it sounds kind of fun.
Does it affect the integrity of the game?
And as Rosemary said, as you were giving that legitimizing story,
Well, we'll come up with a female equivalent. I'm sure. Give the British company a couple of weeks.
I raised three sons. I think that would have been hugely popular as in a home version, for example.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've just given the other idea.
But my question and why I brought it up up is because how long before you have that and you say, you know what, we can make money off that. You can bet on that. Can you get a 70% and 80%? You know, you get your money back.
But you make a really good point, because it's this whole business of morality changing before our very eyes. So, for example, you say, okay, well, that would be okay, but prostitution is not okay yet. But at some point, the state is going
to
say, as Nevada has,
a good way to make money.
Tax it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to take a break. We're going to pause for a moment. And we are going to be back. That's up to you, David. However you wish to spend the time, it's not our concern.
I aim to be here.
You aim too.
You're listening to The Roundtable. Welcome back to The Roundtable. Sorry, the music bed wasn't long enough, but we've been trying. All right, so Sarah LaDuke is here. She's going to read from social media, and I'll give her my headphones, and all will be right with the world. Okay. Oh, I just unplugged.
No lights. You did. That's okay.
There you go.
Are we on?
Okay.
You are on.
Too on. So loud. Thank you. All right. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
From Facebook, Scott says, please comment on federal versus states' rights. I'm an American living in the United States. Why should I not have the same marriage rights, gun rights, abortion rights, etc.?
All right. We will take that under advisement.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
From Twitter, Andrew says, let's all marry each other, love each other, and get on with addressing real problems of ending war and feeding the hungry.
That's a good point. Oh, good.
Dave emailed us and simply said, thanks for the coverage of this week's Supreme Court deliberations. And we had a joke on Facebook that said, urinal video games brings new meaning to the term joystick.
There you go. All right.
Got a bigger laugh before air, you guys. You laughed much harder when I came in before.
when you're sitting through the trial balloon. Thank you very much, sir. Oh, and tell us how people can get in the conversation.
Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. There's a post there associated with this panel. Twitter.com/WAMC Roundtable. You can reply to us there. There's a posting on our website, WAMC.org, and you can always email us, roundtable@WAMC.org.
And I'm not complaining by any stretch of the imagination, but when you initially said it,
I did do a bitter.
That joystick was much more provocative.
There you've said it again.
That's fair. You guys laughed bigger because I sold it harder. All right.
Sarah LaDuke, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We're going to have a, I want to, I don't know, this really isn't changing the conversation, oddly enough, but here we go. You know, because it goes into that department of what in the name of God were they thinking?
Well, we know.
Nike. Nike has an ad. Now, of course, Tiger Woods was the number one golfer in the world. And has this incredible career, and then just fritters it away because of just a horrible sex scandal.
Yeah, doing what half of America does.
And just, not to that degree. A lot more than that. I mean,
why do you think 54% of marriages end up in the toilet?
Well, okay, if you say because there is
philandering,
cheating going on in the marriage. Well, yes, but I think that's sort of downplaying what he did.
Right. We're talking.
This is to an ultimate degree of what was happening with Mr. Woods.
Oh, ye who would throw the first stone.
Okay, so. So he loses most of his endorsements. Everybody says goodbye, Tiger Woods. His career suffers horribly. Mm-hmm. His golfing suffers horribly, and then he's in a new relationship. He's very honest and open about the relationship. He's going on Facebook. He's hey, look who I'm with. Okay, then
downhill skier.
Then he wins.
And he changed his trainer, don't forget.
Yes. And he wins this major tournament. And Nike puts an ad, and they have him sort of crouching down, looking at the ball going into the hole there.
The thing.
Yeah. And says, winning takes care of everything. Tiger Woods, world number one. Okay. Does winning take care of everything? And this ad has drawn a lot of controversy. It was posted on Facebook and Twitter, supposed to allude to the fact that the golfer recovered from career stumbles to regain his world number one ranking on Monday, which he lost in October 2010. But some say it's inappropriate in light of Woods' past marital woes. It's the latest controversy for athletic giant Nike, which recently has had to cut ties with biker Lance Armstrong as well as runner Oscar Pistorius due to separate scandals.
Well, wait a second now. One of them murdered, maybe. The other, Pistorius, right? The other one, who's
doped.
The other?
Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong cheated. He doped and he lied.
And ran a doping ring.
It's different.
Yeah. What do you say?
But they all were big. They were all big winners turned into heroes by Nike. And yes, winning does take everything, and I hate it because it's true and it shouldn't be.
So, it again, I asked the question, and maybe inappropriately so, I don't know. But I mean, does, you know, what were they thinking? So I guess, were they thinking right or were they thinking wrong? I mean, do they think what most people are thinking, or are they taking their bets?
Great question, and I'll bet they've polled.
Because there's been a lot of questions on the just as you say this, there's been a lot of talk on sports talk radio as well as in blogs and so forth of questioning as to whether Nike isn't, that's not what they meant.
Well, what is it that they think they meant? I've heard this. There's a double meaning. What other meaning is there?
I don't know.
I've read all the papers.
I don't know what it takes care of.
Can you tell me what it is?
I don't know what else it could take care of other than the obvious, because that's what you think of when you think of.
Okay, all your bad judgment and bad publicity and your bad times wiped out because you just won. That's one meaning. Give me another one.
Okay, but Tiger Woods, correct me if I'm wrong, because as you all know, I'm not much of a sports person. But Tiger Woods really did an incredible amount for golf. I mean, before Tiger Woods, what are you making a face?
No, I'm just contemplating your words, Alan.
No. So he did an incredible amount for golf. He made golf, and every day there'd be a picture of this very handsome man on the front of the newspaper or the back of the newspaper. And most people who couldn't tell you five golfers' names could tell you about Tiger Woods and why Tiger Woods was so important. And so Nike knows that. I mean, it's that simple. Or as a very famous boxer once said, it's just business to them, and that's what they're doing.
Well, yeah, okay, but there was a wrong committed, and I'm certainly not.
Are you sure Al Gore didn't commit a wrong, or Tipper Gore didn't commit a wrong, or Bill Clinton didn't commit a wrong, or
all of them did, and none of them came out with a triumphant, boastful ads like this.
No,
Alan.
Except that Bill Clinton came out, I believe, as the most popular, when he left the presidency, including Ronald Reagan, the most popular president in the history of this country.
That's because he did a lot for politics. He did a lot for the country,
well,
so that's true. It's just like
this.
Tiger Woods, it can be popular as a player. But we're talking about Nike, a commercial company, using this image of him. Why? Mm. What is their thinking? That's the question before us.
It seems like it's cynical that what we believe, which is true, that winning does, unfortunately, change everything.
I mean, you could take the fact it's a redemption story, and the guy, let's give him credit, he's an amazing athlete. He has gone through huge physical problems and problems with his game and come through that. That's remarkable. You could do, and yes, he has turned his life around, okay? So there's good things here. He doesn't have to come off like a schmuck, which is what he does in this ad. It's horrible. I'm offended by it.
There is...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, let us not forget of how many women came out and the different stories that came. I mean, he went through a 45-day therapy program. He talked about that because of his success that he thought he could get away with whatever I wanted to. He said, I felt like I had worked hard my entire life and I deserve to enjoy all the temptations around me. So absolutely, I think there can certainly be a story of redemption, but do you also, you know, does winning really take care of the hurt that he has put on the people
around him? You don't think they polled, Joe, you don't think they polled women too? Because, you know, women buy Nikes also. And if it is just business, I doubt that they would have taken this kind of chance if they didn't find a tremendous amount of interest by women in Tiger Woods.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it seems the ad is getting so much
backlash.
So much backlash that I don't know if it's working to their
except well, for the Stephen A. Smith.
Maybe mean it's working. In other words, it's one thing to see it on television or to read it in a newspaper or to see it online, but it's another if everybody in America is talking about it. The real question is there's a lot of tisking going on, but is your product getting an awful lot of news, making it an awful lot of news?
Rosemary, do you think an ad like this ultimately, does it? Because what we're trying to do is sell Nike products. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Nike's trying to do. Mm-hmm. So does it help them in that regard?
That's so hard to say. I mean, Nike sells a lot anyway, and it's part right. of such a huge and sophisticated ad. How could you pull it out? Both Lindsey Vonn, his girlfriend, and Tiger Woods cause me huge problems when I'm teaching about gender equality sure. and ethics in journalism, because my students, my young people, feel, well, you know, he's in the ad. Lindsey Vonn poses with her butt up in the air, half naked on a skiing cover of Sports Illustrated. So why is that bad? You know, they get money from it. They agree to it. It's fine. It just isn't fine.
Well,
this
let me
is
ask
not
you
the stuff
a question.
We should, the media should be putting out.
Let me ask you another question. I mean, since you're so opposed to the way this is going, would you not buy a Nike product as a result of this?
I would not buy a Nike product.
Okay, well, that's
of this.
An answer.
Hmm. Yeah. We're going to leave it there for this morning. I want to thank our entire panel,
wow.
of course, Rosemary Armeo, David Gustina, Alan Chartok, thank you all for joining us. Of course, I remind you, you can email us, roundtable@wamc.org. We'd love to hear what you have to say about the topics we discuss this morning. Except for the urinal one, we don't really care about
we
what
apologize.
You say about that. Yeah, we just
in advance.
Right. yes, just know we're going to get letters. You don't have to take it. Rosemary's off to class. We're off to the news break, and we'll be back after this short break. On WAMC.